For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jackie Robinson Ivy, and they let me hang out here a little bit as, you know, with some good friends. And we consider each one of you here, whether you're a member or just a guest, we're happy that you're here and we don't take you for granted. So thank you for being here. I'm joined today with fellow board members, our CEO, Dan Gibbons. Dan, you get to wave your hand. Yeah. Our treasurer, Mr. Omar Dagestani, is here. And I think that's it for our board members, but lots of good friends. Thank you. I'm going to run through our sponsors. RV Services, Met Water, BMO, Shedd Aquarium, George's and Senowiki. I've said it three times and said I was going to get it right. Delve Underground, Stiefel, ACOM, Chris Burke Engineering, and Mid-America Carpenters. Thank you all so much. I'd like to acknowledge Mr. Kevin Flood. He's over. I saw him. He's here somewhere. There he is at our table. And I told my good friend Eileen that I was so happy to see her, but I was secretly more happy to see Mr. Elsie Higginbottom in the room. The Lester McKeever is here today, and we appreciate it. Now, somehow, that table over there is popping. We got... Oh, I'm not supposed to mention any of the commissioners, am I? You're going to do that. Okay, so it's not that I'm not acknowledging you all. I'm just following the president's rule. I did see Mary Ellen Karen. I saw Alderman Burnett. And State Rep Kim Dubuclay is here also. Now, Gina, we can't tell everybody's secrets, but somebody in here had a big birthday. Khadijah Warfield is here, and she had a big birthday, so. And did Miss Adele Simmons leave the room yet? Because she was in here. Adele is walking history, you all. So, you know, I think we ought to start with those recorders walking around and kind of saying, hey, you know, tell us history, because we don't take it for granted that she and Mr. McKeever and, you know, there's so many in here that we just appreciate your being here. We live in the greatest city in the world, and that's our history. President Steele started her career at Metropolitan Water Reclamation as an intern, working as a water sampler and a lab technician. President Steele made history in January 2019 when she became the first African-American woman in more than 130 years of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District to be elected. To be elected to the Board of Commissioners to serve as president. Now serving in her third term, she is the first and only chemist on the Metropolitan Water Reclamation Board of Commissioners. She was recognized in Crane Chicago Business in 2023 as a notable woman in STEM. I am surprised we don't have some more like young people here with regards to STEM. At this time, I would like for all of us to turn our chairs around and acknowledge President Carrie Steele as she takes the stage.
Well, hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you, Jackie, for that kind and thoughtful introduction and for welcoming me to City Club Chicago. Before I go any further, I definitely want to personally thank a few of the elected officials that came out this afternoon to support me. First, I would like to acknowledge my committee person, Alderman, and our Vice Mayor, Walter Burnett. I would also like to acknowledge the representative who left us at Water Reclamation, but Representative Kimberly Neely Dubuclay. Thank you for coming. And I would also like to recognize my soror, Commissioner Tara Stamps. Speaking of young people in STEM, I definitely want to acknowledge Kelly Fair, the founder of Polished Pebbles, because she supports young ladies in STEM. Me growing up being a STEM baby, I truly appreciate your hard work. Also, I must acknowledge my husband, Mays Jackson. And former Commissioner David Walsh. You didn't think I saw you back there. And if there are any other elected officials in the room, raise your hand. All right, well, thank you all for coming out. And of course, now before I go any further, I would like to recognize my colleagues on the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. Our Vice President, Teresa Flynn. Commissioner Precious Brady Davis. Commissioner Ada Corral Sepulveda. And Commissioner Daniel Pogoshelski. I would also like to take this opportunity to acknowledge our Executive Director, Brian Perkovich. And I would like to acknowledge our 1,800 MWRD employees, and obviously they're not all here this afternoon, but the MWRD employees that are here, can you please stand? For over 135 years, our team has gone from working to save the region from polluted drinking water to becoming leaders in our industry. But like the original staff, working to dig over 60 miles of canals, our staff today is hardworking, committed, and innovative, tackling some of the most challenging water quality issues of our time. Today, our employees offer a unique take on an essential worker. They work around the clock because we know the flow of water through our pipes and through our communities never stops. And just like our staff, our commissioners come from diverse backgrounds from all over Cook County. But we all meet at the same intersection when it comes to stormwater management and water quality. We each are passionate about protecting our water environment, and we each have a unique story to tell. As for my unique water story and how I became to value the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, also known as the MWRD, the district, and you'll often hear me say Water Rec. I'm proud to say that my career started at Water Rec as an intern. While in college, I spent my summers working at the Calumet Water Reclamation Plant and at the Stickney Water Reclamation Plant, which is one of the largest wastewater treatment facilities in the world. I would actually work as a water sampler, going out to collect wastewater samples from all over Cook County and dropping them off in the lab. And then later throughout the years, I advanced to actually testing those wastewater samples in the laboratory. I learned firsthand every summer that there were truly admirable people working in the water industry. And I became increasingly passionate about our environment. I tell people that's when I like to say I officially became an environmentalist. After graduating with a chemistry pre-med degree from Xavier University of Louisiana, I worked for the City of Chicago's Department of Water Management as a control lab water chemist right at the Jardine plant by Navy Pier. I left there and worked for L'Oreal USA formulating ethnic hair care products. But during this time, I moved into my own home and I experienced an extreme rainstorm and I got water in my basement. Mopping up and throwing out everything the water touched and feeling devastated once again about the memories lost. However, at my community meetings, my experience at MWRD and the water department allowed me to explain to my neighbors why stormwater sometimes may end up in those unwanted places, and I was able to offer sound advice. My involvement that day led to a few community leaders asking that I run for public office. So I contemplated returning to MWRD, but to serve on the Board of Commissioners. I thought I could be more effective in the water industry on the board for my community and for others. So, as most of you all know, who are here that are elected officials, running for office was exhilarating and exhausting. I was so confident in my efforts. However, I did lose my first race. But I quickly brushed off the disappointment, continued connecting with neighbors about stormwater management issues, and in 2012, I ran again for MWRD commissioner, more determined than ever, leaving no stone unturned, and I won. Thank you. I was officially an elected commissioner for the MWRD. And in 2019, after being elected to my second full six-year term, my colleagues unanimously elected me president of the Board of Commissioners. Thank you. And I am now honored to be serving my third term as president of the board. And now that I've shared with you my unique water story, I would like to give you a closer glimpse of our work at the MWRD by sharing a video we produced for thousands of our visitors who tour our water reclamation plants each year upon their arrival.
Welcome to the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, also known as the MWRD. The MWRD is the government agency responsible for treating wastewater and managing stormwater for the Chicago region, which means we clean sewage and work to reduce flooding. Even though we have the word water in our name, one thing we're not responsible for is drinking water. Most people in our service area get their water from the City of Chicago Department of Water Management. The MWRD was founded in 1889 to reverse the flow of the Chicago River to protect Lake Michigan and public health. We built 61 miles of canals, 7 water reclamation plants, 110 miles of deep tunnels, and hundreds of miles of intercepting sewers that connect local sewers to our treatment facilities. We clean an average of 1.3 billion gallons of water every day, transforming wastewater, stormwater, and urban runoff into clean water while recovering valuable resources like energy and fertilizer. We continue to be a world-leading wastewater and stormwater management utility focused on flood mitigation, resource recovery, sustainability, resilience, and innovation. We hope you enjoy this brief overview of our treatment processes before you head out to see everything for yourself. Rain and dirty water from homes, businesses, and storm drains flows through sewers by gravity to our 7 water reclamation plants. Each of our plants use similar processes to clean all that dirty water. Here's an example of an intake structure. This one is at the Stickney Water Reclamation Plant. The intake structure is the final destination for miles and miles of sewers, and it is about 45 feet underground. After the water arrives at the plant, we pump it up from sewer level to the surface so it can be cleaned. But before we let the water get to the pumps, we need to remove any large debris that could cause damage. To do this, we send it through core screens. These screens catch flushable wipes, litter, and leaves. Over the years, the screens have removed some interesting things, such as car wheels and bowling balls. Once we've screened out the large debris, the water continues on to the pumps. Here in the pump and blower building at the Stickney plant, you can see the pumps are well below ground level. They're down at the elevation of the sewers that are coming into the plant. These large boxes are soundproof enclosures that hold blowers, basically giant fans. Air is crucial for our treatment process. The blowers account for 50% of our energy use at the plants. After the water is pumped up to the surface, it flows through the rest of the plant by gravity, similar to a river. The first stop for the water after the pumps is our aerated grit tanks, where we use some of that air from the blowers to help rocks, sand, and gravel sink to the bottom. This debris goes to a dumpster and is sent to a landfill. Next, the water flows into what we call primary tanks. In primary tanks, we let the water sit very still. You can see these boards are moving very slowly across the surface of the water. They scrape anything that has floated to the surface, usually a mix of fats, oils, grease, and plastic, and slowly the system pushes this debris to the end of the tank, and then that material is disposed of in a dumpster. Meanwhile, underwater, the organic solids mixed with the wastewater are sinking to the bottom and those are removed and go through a separate solids process. We're actually able to remove 70 to 80% of the solids from the water in primary treatment. Notice how clear the water is here. And while you can definitely see there is some debris mixed in it, the water is already significantly cleaner. After primary treatment, the water flows on to secondary treatment. Secondary treatment consists of two parts: secondary aeration tanks and final settling tanks. The aeration tanks work just like a fish aquarium, where air bubbles add dissolved oxygen to the water for the fish to breathe with their gills. In the case of our aeration tanks, we add dissolved oxygen to make the conditions just right for beneficial bacteria that help us clean the water. This carefully maintained population of microorganisms consumes the remaining solids and then clumps together to settle. After the aeration tanks, the water enters final settling tanks, where the clumps of bacteria sink to the bottom and clean water flows off the top. During warmer months when there is recreation on waterways, we disinfect water before we release it from several of our water reclamation plants. At the O'Brien plant in Skokie, we accomplish this by sending water through the super powerful ultraviolet light bulbs using 896 lamps that provide a low pressure, high output performance. The UV light deactivates any microbes left in the water so that they can no longer reproduce. At our Calumet plant, we accomplish the same thing using a chlorination-dechlorination process, in which we add chlorine to the water and then send it through a maze-like contact structure and then chemically remove the chlorine before sending the water out into the Little Calumet River. What about the solids? The solids removed during treatment go to anaerobic digesters, where a different biological process breaks them down and produces biogas that we use to heat and cool our plants. After leaving the digesters, the solids are designated by the US EPA as biosolids and can be used as a soil amendment. These biosolids undergo additional processing to remove water. Centrifuges operate like a spin cycle of a washing machine. At other facilities, we air dry the solids. Just like the water we release from our plants, our biosolids are subject to strict standards for quality. They're continuously tested to confirm we're meeting those standards. So, we start with rain and dirty, used water and end up with clean water and biosolids. And we achieve this using gravity, air, and helpful bacteria. Now it's time for you to see this amazing process for yourself. Enjoy the tour, be safe, and find out how you can help us succeed in our mission to protect our water environment.
So as you see, wastewater treatment is the historic foundation of our responsibilities at the MWRD. At our core, the MWRD is responsible for wastewater treatment, stormwater management, and environmental protection. To assure that we deliver on our responsibilities to the Cook County residents and taxpayers, We prioritize sound financial management and a commitment to ethics in our governance. Over the years, water quality has improved substantially in the Chicago area rivers and streams thanks to the work of the MWRD and our treatment process. For example, our aquatic ecology team tracks fish populations in area waterways. Since monitoring began in 1970, we have seen dramatic improvements in species diversity. From just 10 species in 1974 to over 77 species today. And we are proud of our excellent record of meeting our permit requirements. We have received the highest awards for compliance from the National Association of Clean Water Agencies. Now, as we prepare for the future, the MWRD released a highly ambitious climate action plan, which the board adopted May 2023. This plan presented a roadmap that helps illustrate the steps that the MWRD will take to significantly reduce our carbon footprint over the first half of the 21st century. We have set milestones that include a 28% reduction of greenhouse gas emissions from our 2005 baseline emissions by 2025 and an 80% reduction by 2050. In 2023, we already recorded a 36% reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, which is equivalent to approximately 317,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide. In 2005, our electricity was 1% renewable, but in 2023, it was 24% renewable. Thank you. And we continue to make improvements and make strides in improving our carbon footprint. And while we work to mitigate the effects of global warming, Mother Nature and climate change have produced unprecedented rainfall totals. Global warming, as some of you may know, changes the atmosphere and alters our water cycle. This leads to changes in the amount, timing, form, and intensity of rainfall. Now, as the agency that's responsible for treating wastewater, managing stormwater while protecting our drinking water source and our waterways, you can imagine keeping up with climate change is certainly a daunting task. But our immediate effectiveness in adapting to today's storms has garnered the attention of several residents and the media to inquire more about our essential work. And it is important to remember that although we have been around since 1889, the MWRD was given authority by the Illinois General Assembly to manage stormwater in 2004. And it was not until 2014 that we received authority to work on local stormwater management projects. So 2004, authority to manage stormwater, and 2014, we were given authority to work on local stormwater management projects. But since then, we have introduced a wide range of strategies that bolster our community's resilience to flooding. The MWRD oversees a countywide effort to manage stormwater runoff, reduce flooding, improve the health of our waterways, and protect our primary drinking water source, Lake Michigan. And since 2014, the MWRD has over 240 active and completed stormwater management projects throughout Cook County, working to protect nearly 19,000 homes, businesses, and other structures. Our projects range from huge flood mitigation reservoirs to smaller neighborhood green infrastructure projects. And these projects, represent an investment of more than $533 million from the MWRD. A few examples of the ambitious stormwater management projects that we have taken on over the last few years include the Robbins Heritage Park and Midlothian Creek Restoration Project, which is pictured right here, and the Addison Creek Reservoir and Channel Improvements. We know each community we serve across Cook County is facing stormwater management challenges. And to face those challenges, some communities, honestly, have more financial resources than others. But we work with all communities to ensure no community is left behind. We are all passionate about environmental justice. The Board of Commissioners, executive staff, engineers, and various MWRD departments share updates with local, city, and suburban officials and often meet directly with various communities to discuss stormwater management improvements and how we can work together to mitigate excess stormwater from going into those unwanted places. And these are just a few pictures of us discussing stormwater management at various meetings and how we can work together to fight climate change. We seek stormwater management projects from communities at any stage of development. It can be conceptual or it can be shovel-ready. We will work with communities to advance your projects. In 2022, we established an environmental justice initiative to help under-resourced communities to develop stormwater management projects. We also established a community partnership council to encourage public involvement with our work. That's our Calumet Community Councilship Partnership Council, and we just started our Stickney Community Partnership Council. And then in 2023, we implemented more diversity, equity, and inclusion into our work to integrate environmental justice considerations to all MWRD programs, policies, and activities. And as we work to include all communities and residents in stormwater management initiatives, we include both green infrastructure and gray infrastructure in our broader stormwater management strategy. The MWRD partners with municipalities to implement green infrastructure. Green infrastructure like rain barrels, native landscaping, rain gardens, biosoils, green roofs, and of course, our permeable pavements. This summer, among dozens of other projects, we completed six new North Riverside green parking lots through our Green Infrastructure Partnership Program. The MWRD contributed $1.2 million towards this $1.5 million total improvement. The stormwater captured in permeable pavements diverts water from our local sewer lines to mitigate flooding, reduce basement backups, and improve area water quality. The North Riverside installation is one of our largest green infrastructure projects to date. 71,000 square feet of asphalt lots were converted to permeable pavements. These permeable parking lots have the capacity to capture 539 gallons of water every time it rains, or 539,000 gallons of water every time it rains. And for comparison, that's more water than the capacity of an Olympic-sized swimming pool. And green infrastructure projects like this reduce the flow of water from entering the sewer system, and instead, the water is stored and slowly like seeps or percolates into the underlying soil. Now, since 2015, The MWRD has partnered with dozens of public agencies, municipalities, and government entities to fund a range of green infrastructure projects. And in the past 10 years, 107 green infrastructure projects were constructed, with an additional 24 to be completed this year and next year. These projects will retain around 18 million gallons of water each time it rains. And remember, this is water that we are keeping out of those unwanted places. And then we have our successful Space to Grow partnership that has helped transform schoolyards at 34 Chicago public schools so far into vibrant learning spaces full of green infrastructure. The green schoolyards work to help manage stormwater for the surrounding community. Everyone knows Space to Grow is my favorite green infrastructure project because not only is it a way for us to have stormwater management in the communities so it helps water reclamation, but it's also a way to educate communities about various forms of green infrastructure, why it's important, and then educate them about water reclamation and teach children about not only opportunities at water reclamation, but hopefully encourage them to get involved in a water career. As a community-wide initiative, we encourage all communities to think green. And we're creating a cultural shift in how we think about water management. And while green infrastructure is like the new kid on the block, we are most famously known all over for our gray infrastructure. Construction began in 1975 on our tunnel and reservoir plan, also known as TARP or the Deep Tunnel. TARP is a system of deep, large diameter tunnels and vast reservoirs designed to reduce flooding, improve water quality in Chicago area waterways, and protect Lake Michigan from pollution caused by sewer overflows. TARP is a four-tunnel system designed to flow into three huge reservoirs. The system currently has a capacity of about 11 billion gallons, and it will have a capacity of 17.5 billion gallons when complete in 2029. TARP is one of the largest civil engineering projects on Earth, and TARP has been widely emulated since its initial tunnels went online in 1985. TARP protects 3.7 million people living across a 360-square-mile area that are serviced by a combined sewer system that conveys both wastewater and stormwater to the MWRD. Our engineers have estimated that TARP has collected more than 1 trillion gallons of polluted water that previously would have overwhelmed our rivers, our canals, our streets, and our basements. The McCook Reservoir alone has collected around 120 billion gallons of water since Stage 1 came into service in late 2017. And Stage 2 will come online, as stated earlier, 2029. But the most important part about the McCook Stage 2 completion for TARP, our construction is currently on time to be complete and within budget. And being on time and within budget for such a massive project as TARP speaks to the professionalism of our staff and MWRD's governance, and the quality of our governance. To finance our expansive operations and investments, for 2024, the MWRD Board of Commissioners adopted a conservative yet responsible $1.4 billion budget. And because the Board of Commissioners' commitment to financial discipline and responsibility, the 2024 budget is $3.2 million lower than our 2023 funding plan. And that's a rare distinction when, as we know, so many costs are rising. In 2023, Fitch Ratings affirmed the Fitch Ratings again affirmed the MWRD's AAA credit rating, thanks to, once again, the Board of Commissioners' responsible financial stewardship. Fitch highlighted the MWRD's reliable revenue stream, lowering operating cost burdens, and improvements in debt structuring to fund capital improvement projects and meet MWRD's pension and retirement obligations. And Moody's Investor Services upgraded the MWRD's credit rating to AA1. These strong credit ratings align with our 5-year strategic goal of strong fiscal financial management. And in addition, we've made a commitment to fulfilling our pension obligations. For the third straight year, we dedicated $30 million in reserves to our retirement fund to maintain growth in the funding ratio. This prudent fiscal management allows us to implement our bold environmental and stormwater management agenda across Cook County. And we are not only fiercely proud of our financial stewardship, but we are also equally proud of our commitment to ethics in government. At a time when government activity is heavily scrutinized, the MWRD is demonstrating a commitment to the highest standards of legal and ethical conduct in our operations. And we maintain this guided principle in our work, serving the taxpayers of Cook County. The MWRD voluntarily adopted its own ethics ordinance, designated a staff ethics advisor, implemented an annual ethics training for all employees, that's mandatory, and installed an independent 3-member ethics commission. The commission is responsible for accepting complaints under MWRD's ethics ordinance, which regulates political activities and the solicitation and acceptance of gifts by MWRD officers and employees. The MWRD's ethics ordinance is designed to strengthen and ensure ongoing, transparent, responsible operations in all aspects of our work while assuming accountability. In addition, the MWRD Board of Commissioners in 2019, when I became president, entered into an intergovernmental agreement, or an IGA, with the Cook County Office of the Independent Inspector General to provide services to the MWRD. In conclusion, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to showcase the extraordinary scale and reach of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago's responsibilities, to highlight our investments in communities across Cook County through prudent and ethical government, to convey the essential nature of our work and its impact on the daily lives of all Cook County residents. As you see, the MWRD continues to fulfill its essential public health role even now in its third century of existence. And as you can also see, I am super proud of the work we do at MWRD, and I could probably go on and on about it. I am proud of my fellow commissioners, and I am proud of our essential MWRD staff. So I thank you. I thank all of you for being here this afternoon and for allowing me to share that pride with you at City Club Chicago. Thank you. Thank you, and I think now I'm available to answer any questions that you may have.
So President says, I'm done. I'm like, yeah, no, you're not. Thank you. This was more than informative, and I know we've been trying to make this happen for quite a little while. Anybody in here besides the commissioners who knew all of that and the Metwater people? Yeah, see, I didn't think so. I don't feel so bad now that I didn't know all of that. Kim, you never told me all this stuff when you were there. I guess it used to bring me my phosphorus. I really like my little phosphorus. Do you guys still make that stuff?
Oh, yes. The phosphate fertilizer.
Yeah. For our plants? Nobody uses that? Okay. Before I forget, we have another board member who just popped in, Ms. Trish Rooney. And we know that she does a lot of work in this area, so... I neglected to ask you all to fill out any questions that you might have there are blue forms on the table. If you write your question real quick, I might be able to get a couple in. I have a couple already. Okay, we have one. Oh, okay. So this question, President, comes from Dominic Titu from the Quebec Government Office. Are you here, Dominic? He's right there. Okay. Can you tell us about your PFAS-related activities, including detection and elimination?
Yes.
Thank you for this very important question, because as we know, PFAS is just one of our hot topics. So for those of you that do not know what PFAS is, PFAS, one, it's a chemical that comes in several different variations, but it's also, you might hear it in the media, someone might call it the forever chemical. And they call it the forever chemical because it sticks around like forever. And it's basically it's harmful. It's not the most healthiest thing for us to have in our system, but PFAS is everywhere. It's in the fast food wrappers that have that wax film so the cheese doesn't stick on it. It's in cosmetics products. It's in anything that's flame resistant, the Teflon pots and pans. So what the MWRD is doing, one, I am very confident that our staff is more than prepared to test for PFAS when we're required to do so by the Illinois EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. But in the meantime, while that's being worked out, we're working with lawmakers to make sure laws are passed to hold the polluters accountable for making PFAS. They have chemists that work for their companies that could reformulate anything to eliminate PFAS, and that's what we're working to try to make sure the manufacturers are held accountable. So I would like to ask everyone here today to talk to your elected officials and your legislators and make them know that this is important to you and you support their efforts to hold the manufacturers accountable. And also, let's think about the products we're using in our daily lives. It's a bug flying around. Let's make sure we think about the products that we're using in our daily lives and eliminate PFAS from entering into our system. And thank you for the question.
I had just said that, you know, we've got mercury in the fish. We've got something in the vegetables. What is that? Something in the vegetables, right? We've got forever chemicals in the water. I'm like, are we supposed to eat air? So thank you for the work that you all do, because you and I have talked, you know, just on the surface about how this is so important, because most of our corporate organizations are required to work on our efforts and tell the public what our efforts around sustainability are. Mm-hmm. It's huge for us. We're not necessarily regulated, but we are getting to the point now where we have to report. Our funders want to know, our shareholders want to know, our people that work with us need to know. So anything that you can do to help in the area of sustainability is huge. And even not printing, you know, things, I think we are now seeing more QR codes and things like that. You would be surprised how that adds to your carbon footprint, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know nearly as much as President Steele does, but I do know some. The 24 schools that you have the space to grow in, you showed one of them. Mm-hmm. Are they only in CPS schools, or are they in, so it's only Chicago Public Schools right now?
Yes, there's 34 schools so far, and they're only with Chicago Public School District because we have a partnership with CPS and the Chicago Department of Water Management. But because of the board's hard work and us wanting to make sure that this opportunity was spread across Cook County, we are working to implement a project like this. Of course, it can't be called Space to Grow, but something like this in the suburbs or our municipalities. So you will start to see schools in the suburbs take advantage of this opportunity as well. The complicated part with the municipalities is the cost share. In the city, we figured it out with Space to Grow. They understand that green infrastructure is important. CPS definitely sees the opportunity of spreading the education about this to the students and the families in the area. But we have to work out that cost share for the municipalities.
It was pesticides in the vegetables. I couldn't remember that. Talk to us a little bit. We've talked one-on-one about carbon footprints, but you mentioned that summers are different, and because of climate change and things like that, tell us how you've seen, just because you are a real chemist, mm-hmm. and you've lived this, you've worked it. Talk to us a little bit about how you see climate change affecting the Chicagoland area.
So, yeah, I definitely, it's almost amazing to me when someone tells me that they don't believe climate change is real. And we have witnessed the extreme rain events, the extreme flooding across the United States of America, honestly. But what I've noticed, just in the simplest terms, in the city of Chicago, and even since I've been working at Water Reclamation, we were joking, and this is what you're getting at, because someone asked me, you know, well, how was your summer? And I can remember when I started at Water Reclamation, I felt like the summertime was a time where we can kind of relax and coast, because we usually had just finished experiencing those extreme rain events. So it was like, remember how it was like April showers bring May flowers. Now that's completely shifted. And we have seen those 100-year rain events and severe rainstorms in June, in July, and they're slowly creeping over. So this summer, after last summer, I was on pins and needles. Like, you know, you go out of town, but you don't want to go too far, because you know, this summer is now, the summertime now is now the time in Chicago, I feel, for us to be ready for those extreme rainstorms. And that's just something we've all lived through and we witness. And to me, that's living proof that climate change is real and is shifting everything with our water cycle with these rain events.
There's so much more to talk about, and if Dan were up here, he'd say there's definitely more to come. So, Dan, do I have permission that she needs to come back again? I think you have to, and I think next time we'll...
Thank you.
You know, we talk about a lot of things. We have, you know, some tough conversations. You know, you've seen Dan up here having some, you know, really, really difficult conversations with people. We have some fun things that we talk about. We talk about the arts. But This issue of climate change and sustainability is one that we can't ignore. I don't know people who don't believe climate change is real. If you live in Chicago, who's not had a flooded basement or yard or something? Let's see a show of hands of people who've had flooding at some point. Yeah, and it's really bad. So thank you to Matt Water for the work that you all do. Thank you for keeping us safe. I was reminded of Matt Water when I came in late the other night from the airport. You know, that lovely aroma. I don't know how people do that who live over there. God bless them. But I also knew that in driving past there and knowing that Carrie was coming this week, I knew the importance of what they were doing. They have to do that for us. Can you imagine? You said it's been in existence since 1889?
Yes.
That's amazing. So we owe them a debt of gratitude as well. So thank you all for being here. Please check the calendar for upcoming events. We've got some great things coming up. Dan, am I leaving anything out? Oh, I got a thumbs up from Dan. Thank you all so much. We are adjourned, and if you want to speak to President Steele after we do a quick picture, she'll be up here. Thank you all so much for being here.